Hello, welcome to another edition of The Debate. I'm Kaveh Taghwai. Egypt's army-appointed authorities have decided to annul the Muslim Brothers non-governmental organization in a drive to neutralize the movements behind ex-President Mohamed Morsi. Will they now go after neutralizing its 1 million members? Security forces have killed hundreds of its supporters and rounded up thousands more since Morsi was deposed by the army on July the 3rd after mass protests against them. In this edition of The Debate, we'll discuss how the notion of democracy is being redefined by the army there and its foreign backers, most notably the United States and Saudi Arabia.
Egypt's first democratically elected president came to power after the country's former dictator Hosni Mubarak was toppled during the 2011 revolution. The country's first free and fair election was praised by the U.S., Europe, and many regional countries. But soon after Morsi took office, hidden hands were in, planning a coup to topple him. Saudi Arabia and the CIA are said to be the real masterminds behind toppling Morsi. Many say the U.S., which annually funds the Egyptian military in Saudi Arabia that is considered an opponent of the movement, used their usual carrot and stick policy to oust the elected president. The move masterminded and led by the U.S. intelligence and Saudi intelligence chief Bandar bin Sultan was aimed at weakening the Muslim Brotherhood that had come into power through the ballot box after years of being barred from politics by the former regime, a practice of civil rights and political freedoms strongly feared by the Saudi autocracy. Following Morsi's ouster, Saudi Arabia poured in funds into the Egyptian military to back the new interim government led by General Abdel Fattah Sisi. Washington, which initially claimed to be backing the young democracy in Egypt, revealed its true face by doing nothing to prevent Morsi's ouster and throwing its support behind the country's military rulers. President Morsi's overthrow sparked massive street protests, and the Egyptian military, which claims its main role is to save Egypt and Egyptian lives, launched a deadly crackdown on Morsi's supporters to end their campaign for democracy. And while the military-backed government in Egypt is rounding up Muslim Brotherhood activists, the country's longtime dictator Hosni Mubarak, who was on trial for his involvement in the killing of protesters during the 2011 revolution, is almost set free, despite his role in the deadly crackdown.
Let me introduce our guest for this edition of The Debate. We have Kevin Barrett. He's the co-founder of the Muslim Christian Jewish Alliance, who joins us from Madison. And we have Dr. Ashraf El-Abayoumi. He's an Egyptian university professor who joins us from Washington. Gentlemen, welcome. Let me start with you, Dr. El-Abayoumi. You had Hosni Mubarak. He was ousted. He was called the dictator, held Egyptians under police state by many accounts, and had one-party elections. And then he was arrested after the revolution for ordering the killing of protesters. Then you have the Muslim Brotherhood, who wins through a popular vote. And then you have a coup in which there's an army-appointed government with the Muslim Brotherhood leaders detained and Mubarak now free. Can you make sense out of this revolution for us?
I take issue about some of the statement that you have mentioned. First of all, the trial of Mubarak from the outset was wrong because he was tried for minor things. He was not tried for politically. I was an advocate of a political trial. And remember, these trials were organized under the tutorship of the Muslim Brotherhood. And judges, looking at the case, they don't see any evidence on some of the allegation against him. So he was freed from some of the allegations, but not completely. Now, you say that Morsi was elected democratically. From the very beginning, the process of democracy and election was faulted in Egypt. Here is a country under 40 years of dictatorship under Mubarak, and suddenly people were asked for plebiscites, for the constitution and so on, and I was there, and people in the lines didn't know what they are deciding for, and yet they went ahead and a constitution was established, even though The Christians didn't participate. Many of the political forces other than the Muslim Brotherhood withdrew from the council that wrote the constitution. And, you know, you speak about democracy as if it is the ballot box only. And even if you look at the ballot box, you see that the number of people who went to vote and the percentage that Morsi got, Dr. Morsi got in the presidential election and in the election of the assembly, you see that the minority of people, especially the constitution, which is a social contract with people after 40 years, it should have a tremendous support. So if you see the percentage of the electorate that support the constitution, it is a minority. It is 25% or so. I don't have the figure in front of me. So democracy, and some people are making comparison between Egypt and some other established democracy like England. That's ridiculous. First, the constitution has to be supported by the vast majority of the Egyptian people, and that did not happen. Second, Dr. Morsi relied on one house, which is the Shura Council. You know how many people, they were 7.5% of the electorate were involved in electing the Shura Council, and 90 individuals, a third of it, is appointed by the president. So essentially, Dr. Morsi grabbed power, and during the year that he ruled, and I'm not judging Dr. Morsi's rule on what he did and what he didn't, but essentially the direction he was moving the country into. The direction that he was moving Egypt into, I totally oppose, as well as millions of Egyptians. So you didn't mention, for example, in your introduction, the millions of people that were involved. The intelligence, whether it is American intelligence right. or the Saudi intelligence, I don't doubt that they were involved, but to mention them and not to mention that millions and millions of Egyptians poured into the street against Dr. Morsi and his rule should not be undermined. It is true.
Well, it's interesting, and I'm sorry to jump in here, Dr. Al-Bayomi. It's interesting that you talk about demonstrations, you talk about protesters. These all fall under the umbrella of democracy. But ever since that army went through that coup and appointed this government, Dr. Barrett, let me ask you, what really has occurred? This is what some of the sentiment is coming out based on some analysts in Egypt, which is revealed through the media, which they have said, we may not like it, but Egypt desperately needs Persian Gulf money. The Persian Gulf was a perfect lender to Egypt as long as the Muslim Brotherhood are out, the Saudis are in. How much of a role did Saudi Arabia play in this, Dr. Barrett?
Well, that's absolutely right. Saudi Arabia, Israel, and the Americans, who are actually controlled now by those countries, well, especially the Israelis, is the real axis of evil in the Middle East. And that axis of evil orchestrated a brutal coup destroying the first democracy ever in Egypt in many, many thousands, maybe 5,000 years of written history in Egypt. There has never before been a democratically elected government. This was the first, and the way it's going, it may be the last democracy in Egypt, 1 year of democracy. Why did the U.S., Saudi Arabia, and Israel decide to smash democracy in Egypt? Well, I think they saw that under the relatively benign and cautious Islamic leadership of President Morsi and his allies, Egypt was starting to drift out of its neo-colonial sphere. It was starting to assert itself, and it was moving in a direction of independence. It was beginning to cooperate with groups like Hamas, which terrified the Israelis. It was questioning the Camp David Treaty, which was also terrifying the Israelis. But above all, the example of a true democracy in Egypt was a mortal threat to the corrupt despots in Saudi Arabia. The House of Saud, as I'm sure Dr. Ashraf knows, is probably the most corrupt and criminal organization to rule a country anywhere. And that's saying something, because we have a pretty corrupt and criminal organized crime syndicate ruling the U.S. too. But the Saudi royal family has set new records for corruption. They are well known to have made a deal with the Americans and the Zionists to be propped up in power by U.S. and Zionist power. In return, they set the world's oil prices on behalf of the empire, and they get to skim off the take and put their billions or even trillions of dollars in Swiss bank accounts and use it to jet set around the world, gambling, consorting with prostitutes, using drugs and other kinds of just utterly depraved un-Islamic behavior. They've sold out their country to the imperialists and the colonialists. And if Egypt becomes a democracy, that's going to energize democracy movements in Saudi Arabia too, and this infinitely corrupt royal family will be on the way out. So that's why the Saudis played this instrumental role in overthrowing Egypt's first ever democracy. And honestly, the guest, Dr. Ashraf, is spouting a lot of nonsense. Democracy is the ballot box. That's how you decide who gets in power, whoever wins the election. And not only did President Morsi win Egypt's first ever free and fair presidential elections, but the Muslim Brotherhood won two-thirds of the vote in the assembly. This was a bigger landslide than any party has ever achieved in any national election in U.S. history. There has never been a landslide like that in the U.S. And of course, this free and fair victory by the Muslim Brotherhood, which has its faults, I will admit, but which does represent the aspirations for an Islamically based state of the vast majority of the people of Egypt and of the rest of the Islamic world. All the polls show that between two-thirds and three-quarters of people in most of the Muslim majority countries, including Egypt, support an Islamically based society. And so what happened was that this was a 1971 in Chile style coup d'etat engineered by the axis of evil to destroy democracy. And Dr. Ashraf should be ashamed of supporting this destruction of democracy in Egypt.
Dr. Ashraf Al-Bayoumi, your response and reaction to Dr. Barrett there.
Well, first of all, I object to the adjectives that the gentleman has used. What I'm saying is nonsense, and I should be ashamed and all that. It seems that I'm not living in Egypt, and I haven't been involved intimately for the past, 60 years or so in the affairs of Egyptian politics and situation. And I haven't met the Muslim Brotherhood either. One of the main reasons I'm objecting to the Muslim Brotherhood is their support to the Camp David Agreement, which is one of the conditions dictated by the United States administration, is to support the Camp David Agreement and to follow market economy and also to act as a deterrent to any national forces in Egypt. Let me continue my nonsense, sir, and tell you what you are saying. I'm not going to tell you nonsense, but it's void of the facts. You're speaking about the ballot box. Nasser, let me finish. Nasser was not a Democrat, but he was supported by the people, and he was fulfilling economic democracy, which means satisfying the basic need of the Egyptian people. What's the value of democracy? It is not simply to go to the ballot box. You use the ballot boxes here in the United States. Do you think that the Congress represents the interest of the American people? The Congress that has waged war after war and is neglecting the basic needs of the American people? The gap between the poor and rich is the highest in any industrial country and in the history of the world. 40 million Americans are poor. Is that democracy? If that's democracy, the hell with democracy. Democracy is to satisfy the need of the people to have political freedom and political expression. And it is true that during Nasser there was no political freedom, but during Mubarak, who was supported by the United States for 40 years, he and Sadat,